Well, I can't, I don't know what God's word is, will is. We'll get in the word. Turn to somebody and say, get in the word. Yes. Wow. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a word church. We believe in the word of God here. We believe that the word of God brings change. We get a lot of attacks on that front. And I think if you are preaching the powerful word of God, you're going to get opposition. You'll get attack against it because, you know, the word brings life. The devil brings death. Hallelujah. Is anybody with me today? All right. I want you to open your Bible with me this morning to the word of God. Something I'm really stirred in my heart this morning and really I'm shaking inside right now because I am really excited. We're living in an exciting time, but I'm also burdened. I'm burdened for people that need to be awakened. Hallelujah. Awakened. Awakened. To wake up. To live in a time of awakening, to wake up, to embrace what God has for us this morning. So, oh, Jesus, I tell you, I don't know. I know what the time is. I respect that, and I respect your time. But more importantly, I respect God's time. I bet some of you didn't know this. All of it belongs to God anyway. Hello, can I get an amen? Job realized that. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every moment I live in Him. Amen. Every move you make in Him. Did you realize that? Whether you even acknowledge that there is a God, know there is a God. Listen, we're living on a lot of borrowed things. You realize that? Borrowed things. How many of you in this room right here, had it not been for the Lord, you wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting right now? Come on, let me see your hands. It didn't have to be some crazy thing. You overcome cancer, or you are out there listening in the audience, and you can raise your hands too, amen? But listen, I'm talking about had it not been for God who was on your side, even though you didn't even know He was on your side, brought you to this place and your point. And this time, listen, that's shout news. How could you stay in your seat? Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. It's because of Him. It's because of Him. Hallelujah. We live, we move, we have our being. Amen. All right, let's get into the Word of God. Phew, Jesus. Wow. People see me a lot of times. God downloads things to me, and I'm sitting over there in this tense thing. But something is stirring in my heart. It has been for a long time that people really don't really realize the magnitude of the presence of evil in our world that we live in right now. But I want to say this. Evil has always been here. Ever since the devil was thrown, cast out, and the word says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down among you. But, you know, I'm reminded also, the evil that is against you cannot defeat the good that is in you. 1 John 4:4, for you are God, little children, and have overcome Him, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. How many knows the greater one lives and resides in you? No weapon fashioned against you will prosper. because of what God is in you. Amen. That's a powerful thing. But it also reminds us this morning that, you know, the devil don't care if we believe it, he's real or not. Be honest with you. It's really to his advantage for you to believe he's not real. Well, there are three things the devil wants you to believe about him. First of all, he's mightier and stronger than God. And you all know that answer, right? Listen, he's a fallen angel. He's not even in the same universe as God. Amen. But the devil wants, he's like that puffer fish. He's like the puffer fish. How many knows what a puffer fish is? You know, to his enemies, he puffs himself up to make himself appear bigger than what he is. So one of the tactics of the enemy when he attacks you is to make himself look bigger than what he really is. Come on. Come on. Are you with me today? But greater, everybody shout greater. Greater is the one who has victory in you than the one who is trying to defeat you. Amen. So hang on with me right here. Second thing he wants you to believe about himself, that he doesn't exist at all. Hey, he's a fable. He's a fairy tale. He's someone connected to Hollywood, so it's not real. He's running around in a little red suit with a pitchfork and pointed ears. Everybody knows that's phony baloney. That's nothing real. And the devil wants you to believe that he's not real. He is not real, but he is real. He's alive. And he's very well on the planet Earth today. Peter said he's walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people to take out. He has devised and schemed a very strategic attack against you, against the church, against this ministry, against people as a whole. The enemy is organized. He's organized. He's not just somebody out there just shooting shots everywhere. He's not just out there shooting missiles everywhere. Every attack is strategic. And most of those attacks are because he's trying to remove a purpose or trying to destroy a plan that God has already placed in. But I'm also reminded that nothing can stop the plan of God. The book of Job said nothing can thwart his plan. Nothing can stop what God has purposed or planned. Amen. So those are pretty good things. Are you still with me? He doesn't exist. So if you believe the devil's not real, and guess what? There are Bible teaching, preaching churches. I don't know if you call them Bible teaching, but there are religious groups teaching, supposedly from the Bible, that the devil isn't real. And you know what the devil's doing? Yeah, just believe that if you want to his advantage. The third thing the devil wants you to believe about him, he's a pushover. He's a pushover. So nobody in this room, I want to tell you, the assignment of the devil over your life, he has nothing personal against you. And he doesn't fear your flesh. He doesn't fear who you are. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your pedigree is. I don't care how trained you are, how educated you are, how refined you are. The devil doesn't fear who you are. He fears the one inside you. Do you understand? He fears the one inside you. But didn't we already answer that? Greater is he that is in you than he will come against you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, let me say this morning. You can be seated. If you can, if you want to, you can stand up the whole time. You can help me out. Stand up and help me out if you want to. I don't care. You know, studying and teaching history over the years, and many of you here know these things. Some of you experienced that. You were around during the Vietnam War. One of the ploys of the enemy, we fought really in a war that was almost impossible for us to win on the realm that we were fighting in. You got to understand that. One of the things that made the war, the Vietnam War, difficult in the jungles of Viet Cong and the Vietnam, one of the things that made this war so difficult was the fact that we were constantly fighting an enemy that we could not see. Do you understand that? An enemy that, how many knows that when you're fighting the enemy, it's important that you see and know the one that's fighting against you. Are we getting this right now? I'm going to tell you, I'm burdened for this word. Whether you grab a hold of it or not, or whether you're making a shopping list right now during it, or whatever, but you will not stand before the Lord and said, I sent a word designed, tailored from heaven to bring you an awareness that in this day that we're living in, it's difficult. What makes it really difficult, we can see the things around us. Jesus told Nicodemus that the wind bloweth, but we don't know where the wind goes. You know, evil is present, but we can't always see when evil is moving except in the result of what that spirit is bringing. Because you've got to realize, you say, well, I just feel like I'm fighting people all the time. But you're not fighting people. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Ephesians 6 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Your fight and your battle isn't with people. It's with the evil that is operating behind that. If people are gossiping about you, it's the evil behind that. If people are lying on you, it's the evil behind that. There's a strategy. There's a plan. There's a plan. There is a strategic plan. Listen, as I said before, and I'm not glorifying him, but the devil's organized. In Ephesians 6, it said principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. Rulers, there's rank and authority in the kingdom of darkness. Did you know that? He has assigned certain demonic entities to rule and reign over certain areas. Listen, somebody said, well, the drug epidemic here is crazy. It's off the charts. You know why? Because this is a plan. This is a strategized plan from the enemy eons ago that he would try to tear down people. And his assignment in this area is to tear families apart, destroy people with addiction. And listen, and we're sitting around arguing with each other whether we're right or whether we're wrong. Listen, two rights, two wrongs never made a right. What I'm saying is, God is right, Jesus is right, the Holy Ghost is right. And the devil's craziness is wrong. Because it's planned. As well as we can be in the plan of God, you can also be in the scheme and plan of the devil. Oh. Yes. How many people in this room, and we don't have to all blame it on addiction, because there's layers and layers of hurt and abuse There's layers and layers of brokenness in this earth and this region, and we disguise it. There's poverty. There's sickness. There's, lack in this area. And because of that, the enemy jumps upon the backs of these things and rides it as long as he wants to. He'll ride your brokenness. He'll ride your brokenness. He'll ride your envy, your hurt, your jealousy. He'll ride all of those things of the flesh, and he'll take them as far as you can until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and saying, I have had enough. I've had enough of shooting in my arms. I've had enough of pills and dope. I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough of doing crazy things. I've had enough of living out of a bottle. I've had enough of living out of my craziness. I need to know the power of the greater one resides and lives in me, who truly gives me victory. Who truly gives me victory. One of the greatest things that we fight in this country is the epidemic of depression. Studies show, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mrs. R will testify and has testified that medicines helped her, and God used those to come at a time. Medicine is good. Doctors are good. Their assignment here, being used by God, is good. And the scheme of restoration and building back up, that's good. That's what we need. But listen, the divine, the almighty physician who is in care of all knows one of the greatest fronts that we fight today is with a people who are oppressed and depressed, who have lost their will to live, and they mix that with booze and alcohol and drugs, and they mix that with wrong company and wrong friends, and they think, well, I can do it. You can't do anything apart from Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he depresses and oppresses people. He oppresses people. Oh, wow. So in the Vietnam War, we were fighting an enemy we couldn't see. Trying to, listen, this is how disguised it was. The very enemy that was taking their troops out at night were the very ones that were feeding them fish at the fish market. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The ones you think are your friends who are feeding you fish in the market are the ones that will slit your throat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the devil is in the scheme of it. He's about rank and order. He assigns dominions. And the Bible says that he is the prince of the air. So he has a authority that he has taken. And our assignment to Jesus was to give back. And he has given back the authority. The authority that man lost, Jesus restored on the cross. He became the curse for us. He became the broken for us. He became sin for us. He became these things for us to set us free, to give back our authority and dominion. As a Christian, as a believer, a true follower of Jesus, I'm not talking about the ones who come and just hit in on Sunday morning every now and then and do a woo, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about one that follows Jesus. How many knows there's a difference? Hello, hello. Okay. I know you ain't gonna like this. I know you're not gonna like it. I'm not here to win a popularity contest with you. But I love you. I'm going to tell you. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Well, I'm not going to go there. Miss Selena, I'm not going to go there. Turn to somebody and say, Pastor's not going there. But we were fighting an enemy we cannot see. So how can we identify a real, genuine, authentic spiritual attack? Some may be obvious, but some not so obvious. So how can we tell that we're just not feeling blue, or that we're really under the radar of an enemy who is seeking to destroy our lives? Do you think about that? When Herod got news, I knew, Lord, that this was going to come in there somewhere. But when Herod got news from the wise men that Jesus was born and there was a threat to his dominion or his authority, and he knew that the wise men had kept that from him, and they left Jerusalem a different way than they came because they were a little bit afraid of Herod's dominion and his authority. They left a different way than he came. Listen, nothing changes unless you leave a different way than you came. There's no change when you're leaving the same way every week, and no change. You see why Jesus has a problem with that? And they went with Mary, and they went with Mary and Joseph. They took the baby and they flew to Egypt. But Herod did something that is so overlooked in Scripture a lot. He did something. He assigned assassins. Oh, listen, friend, are you hearing what I'm saying? When you become a child of God, you become a marked person. You're marked. Not because of your cleverness, your smartness, your looks. Not because of your talent, your giftedness, your abilities. You're marked because there is kingdom purpose living and assigned in your life. So there's a reason you're attacked. You're marked. Turn to somebody and say, I'm marked. Somebody said, boy, I wish I could pastor like Ethan. Pastor R, no, you don't. I promise you, you don't want that. You don't want it, you don't want it, you don't want it. What you're seeing is a microphone. What you're not seeing is the mantle of heaviness, the load, the wear, the tear. You're not seeing the mantle. You're not seeing the weightiness. You're not seeing the crushing. You're not seeing those things. You're seeing the lights, the glimmer. You're seeing what you think is cool. You're not seeing the weeping, the crying, the burdens. You're not seeing the sleeplessness. You're not seeing the lack. You're not seeing the fasting, the praying. You're not seeing the studying. You're not seeing the burdens. You're not seeing these things. Listen, because we're marked. If you're a believer, you're marked. If you're really a believer, you're marked. You're marked, Kevin. Listen, the devil don't want you to live out God's assignment. He doesn't want that. But one thing encouraging to you two should be the fact, when you could have been taken out, somebody rose up inside of you and said, not today, devil. Not today, devil. Something rises up in you, Joe, and says, not today. Not today. Steve, Sister Pam, not today. You may have tried. You may have worked. You may have schemed. But I got another thing. I got another thing to say to you. Listen, you know what? Derek Prince wrote a book years ago. I believe it was him, called I Talk Back to the Devil. You know what? Some of you entertain him. Come on, let's have a party, devil. Woo, let's have a party. Listen, you need to talk back to the devil. You need to let him know whose authority you're walking in. You need to look the devil in the eyes and say, I rebuke cancer. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke the lies and the schemes of the devil. Not today. Turn to somebody and say, not today. Not today, devil. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not on God's watch. Not on God's clock. It's not going to happen. Oh, Jesus. Okay, I know what time it is. And I know that I'm just going to barely make a dent. Paul says, a spiritual attack is a series of events coordinated by a demonic realm in order to abort promises. Heath, you are a walking promise of God. Oh, I know you understand a lot, but you have just began to walk in what God has purposed you. You've got to get a hold of that. You've got to understand that. Oh, you've got to understand that. Oh, wow. But in order, these attacks are in order to abort promises, shipwreck faith, and oppress a believer and stall out your destiny. You have a God-sent destiny. You're not just here to take up space. You're not just here to work in the school system or in the college. You're not here just to study law or conduct law. You're not here just to get people shots. Okay, clarify that. To get people shots and make diagnoses. You're not here just to do that. You're not here just to work on a truck. You're not here just to work in the coal mines and bring coal out. You're here for kingdom purpose and destiny. And there is a thief and a liar who is against that purpose in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your target, Steve. You think the devil wants you to roll busloads of people up here? You think the devil's out there? Sometimes I bet we think the devil's out there saying, come on, bring them in, yay, Jesus. No, he's against that. He's against what God's for. And God is for you. I want you to turn to somebody you love next to you. It should be everybody. But I want you to turn to somebody and say, God is for me. Romans 8:31. If God is for you, then nothing can be against you. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to live in a bubble without the potential of attack. That wouldn't be reality. That wouldn't be real. The devil might want you to believe that. But to every believer who's really truly given their life to Jesus, we identify with something so crucial and important, but it has become a bad word in the church today, in the world. It's called the cross. We decorate it, and we wear them, and we make it glorious. But in Jesus' day, it was tied to shame. It was tied to hurt and rejection. It was tied to pain and suffering. It was tied to denial and sacrifice. You see, we made it something that it's not. But to identify with Jesus is to identify with his suffering. It's suffering. You're never going to live as a true believer in this life and not truly suffer for Jesus. not truly have things designed to attack you and take you out and take you down. Do you understand that? So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Devices means, in translation, schemes. It's his plans. But when you wake up on any given morning, I send people posts sometimes, and I say, when you wake up on Monday morning, the devil ought to sit back and say, oh no, my worst nightmare just got up out of bed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My worst threat just got up out of bed. But not if you're playing his schemes and his games. He fears the one inside you. He fears the purpose and plan of God inside you. So he attacks us. He attacks us. And I'm going to talk about that. We're living in an uncommon time. And I'm going to say this about this day that we live in that's different. And Lake and I put all kinds of images up there. I don't know if you see them. But listen, the Holy Ghost tells you, poop, 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 poop. You just pop them up there. But I know, just for instance, the things that surround us, the things that have come against us in the last few years are unique and different. Yes, I know we lived through the Great Depression. I didn't really, but my parents did. I know my parents lived through World War II, and that was a catastrophic. And World War I was, at that time, deemed the apocalypse of wars. You know, they thought that would be the war that would end all wars. And we read all kinds of things on the internet. We're like looking for knowledge, and we read all these kinds of things about people. And I'm not being critical or mean, but really don't know what they're talking about. I knew I wouldn't get a lot of amens right there. But listen, we are living in unique times. We're living in uncommon times. We're fighting fronts that we've never fought before. Joshua 3 and 5, one of my favorite verses of scripture. This is what he told the children of Israel before they broke camp and moved out and crossed over the Jordan River. He says, get ready, prepare yourselves, for tomorrow God will do great things among you, because we have not passed this way before. We're facing things, Willie, we've never faced before. In 9/11, who would have ever thought that someone would take and fly a superpower bomb and fly it into the World Trade Center? Because that morning was like any other beautiful morning. But it was designed. It was an attack by a militant group designed who hated this country, who hated people, who hated Christians, who hated the things, the representation of that. And it's been centuries old in battle and relationship. And there's a lot of things that we won't discuss, can't discuss there. But what I'm saying is nobody looked for that attack. But nevertheless, on September the 11th, 2001, people's hearts were awakened to the fact that we're vulnerable. Anybody in this room can fall prey to the devil. Hello! Paul said, just in case you don't know that, don't criticize or judge your brothers, lest you fall into that same trap yourself. So I'm careful how I judge. Personal story about that years ago, but it won't go into that. Lord Jesus, that might not be good. But None of us are exempt from that testing. None of us can be exempt. We can't say that we are. But on September the 11th, my sister's birthday departed. She's gone on to be with Jesus. But on that day, I woke up and went to school teaching kids in the classroom at Addington Middle School. I don't know where you were, Miss Celine. I don't know if there are any other teachers where you were at that time. But you probably remember where you were. But nobody was looking for that attack. But on that morning, whether we were looking for it or not, it happened. It landed in this nation that was the home of the brave, the land of the free. It landed here because it was strategically planned to take this nation out. Attacked the Pentagon. Another one was designed to fly back into Washington, but was taken down. In Pennsylvania, in farmland in Pennsylvania. So I sent you something. Go back a few decades before that, which birthed the greatest generation. Wow, I'm thankful that my dad and mom was a part of what has been called in history the greatest generation to live in this country. You know why? Because when they were attacked, they didn't run to the bushes and hide. They didn't hide behind religion. They didn't hide behind that. Listen, when they were attacked, guess what? They started holding all-night prayer meetings. They started Holy Ghost-filled services. People would walk miles with just an old lantern back then, meeting together because they were praying against something they did not understand. What is unique in this battle is that we were separated at one strategy of the enemy. Do you know, and I'm not going to keep beating a dead horse, even though it's not really fully a dead horse, I'm not going to keep beating that. But do you know that COVID was strategic? I bet you thought that God brought that disease. Well, everybody accuses God of doing everything bad, but sickness and disease don't come from God. It is viewed from the vividness of hell. You know what? It's designed to take out the purpose and plan of God. Just help me, Jesus. Just help me keep these people where they need to be and help me right now to bring some kind of a decent closure to what I've opened up, Sister Willie. Are you understanding, people, what I'm trying to say to you this morning? The thing that made this different, the COVID, is that for a while it separated us. Right, Joe? Man, Joe was Mr. Hustle, man. He was like, you know, keeping everybody online is because we knew that we had to. We knew, and that thank the Lord that God had a strategy in place that the beat didn't stop. We could preach online, and we could still reach as many people as we could without closing or shutting down the Word of God. And we fought battles there. And only He knows. And a few know. The battles that we fought there to keep things open. And you all thought we were just being mean, acting like dictators. No! We were trying to keep the ball rolling. We were trying to keep the fight going. Oh. So what happened is that when it died down or it slowed down. During that, people still didn't come back. Oh, man, I knew I wouldn't get a lot of amens there. And I know everybody's got to work through stuff themselves. But that's part of the strategy, don't you know? That's part of the strategy to unplug you. You say, well, I still watched online. Sometimes, although where people give me honest reports that it become easier to do laundry or do this or that, and just gaze at it every now and then. And the devil sit back. Woo. Because I'm unplugging. I'm unplugging. I'm unplugging. I'm rocking people to sleep. But something has to awaken inside of us. Something bigger than you. Something bigger than your earthly purpose. Something has to awaken in you. There's something greater than my world. Who I am. There's a God purpose and destiny living inside me. And the devil doesn't want you or the church to be about that. So we had an attack against the church, and we're still fighting that, getting people. And I'm so thankful for this morning, for this wonderful congregation. I think we ought to give God praise for that. Come on, come on. Don't patty cake when you're praising Him. I tell you one thing the devil has against you is the praise inside you. He hates it when you praise God. He hates it when you get happy. Remember those moments, Willie? He said, "Woo! Shoo! You and Sister Patty, you and Sister Liz. Whoa, man. You and two of the three of the sisters, I don't remember all of them, would have you a moment. Juanita, have you a moment?" I think we all need those times. And we are guilty of saying, "Well, that was in Grandma's day." No, we need a little bit of what Grandma had today. Come on! We got too refined. We got too civilized. Listen, we need some of that old time stuff. Yeah, I know we live in a different era, but we need some of that good old stuff. In fact, if it was good enough, Grandma, it's good enough for us today. He's the same yesterday and today forever. The same flow that was in Grandma. It may look a little bit different today. It may be defined a little bit different, but it's the same kind of stuff. The same stuff that Grandma fought the devil with is the same stuff you're fighting the devil with. But it birthed that greatest generation. And I'm going to tell you why. And we're about ready to close here. Just no way, Lord. I hadn't even really started, but I hope you're with me. On December the 7th, which is a week away, 1941, a day that President Roosevelt said will live in infamy, a date that will never be forgotten. Because we were attacked not just by one superpower or entity. We were attacked by multiple powers on different sides and fronts. On December the 7th, 1941, any wonderful, beautiful Sunday morning, the sky was full, a blue sky. Paradise in Hawaii, could you imagine something like that? People don't go there to expect an attack. They go there to get away from the craziness of America, right? To live in, as he said, paradise. To live in a place that's supposed to be refined as better, okay? Just because you're in a paradise, tropical paradise. Perfect temperatures, perfect weather, ocean, all these kinds of things. You're living in, you know, high timber. You're living in all these wondrous things. But on December the 7th, 1941, marked it unusual because the air was suddenly filled that morning with Japanese attack planes, dive bombers. And they bombed Pearl Harbor, the West Virginia, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And I think I have that picture of that battleship. Was one of the first ships taken down. Thousands of people lost their lives that day. People, it was on the news everywhere, the world news, not just United States news. Mouths dropped open. But I'm going to tell you something that happened more important than that. On that day, people began to pray. They prayed. Not to lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord would keep. Not that kind of prayer. But they prayed because something arose in them. And this is what God is trying to awaken in his church today. Oh, yes, about the emperor, admiral. Go ahead and talk. Get your thing there.
On what you're saying, because I've been to Pearl Harbor. We've been to Pearl Harbor. There was a radar guy that was assigned to watch. You know, he was assigned to watch for the enemy. And he saw a huge blob on his radar. But he said, that can't be the enemy. That's too big. That's not really the enemy. So he didn't report it. And so they were asleep.
Oh, wow.
When the attack came.
Powerful. It's meant for you to share that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He didn't recognize the enemy. He thought it was something else. And there's nothing more than the enemy wants you to do is not recognize this as a lethal plan to take God's people down. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not just God's people, but to take people on this planet down, because he doesn't want destiny and purpose to be fulfilled in your life. So, how powerful is that? He addresses Congress after the attack of Pearl Harbor. And the next day, and said, one of the statements he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But it awakens something. That speech awakens something. The purpose of these Sunday after Sunday powerful anointed services, Wednesday nights, these powerful anointed services. It's not like the snack machine. It's not going to snack machine. Well, say, I don't like this snack. I'll choose that snack. It's about that. We need it all. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need it all. If I get this a little bit, a little dab of do you, old Brill Cream commercial. Some of you don't even remember that. Listen, with God, it is not a little dab of do ya. I want all I can get. I want all the anointing that I can carry. Because that anointing is powerful in my life to help me fight against the weapons that are designed to take me down. And so he said this. Oh, wow. But the Japanese admiral, Sakuru Yamato, who planned the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now, there is somewhat a little bit of disagreement of whether he really said this or not. I understand that. But I'm quoting what I've always been taught in history, okay? Because whether he said it or not, he did this very thing, okay? When that attack happened, he said this, I fear all we have done today. Listen, the devil should be afraid of you. Are you getting that? The devil ought to be afraid of you. You ought to make him nervous when you walk in the room. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you walk in that coal mine, every demon back in there ought to say, whoa, Keith McCracken just walked in the mines. When Jared walks in the transportation bus, every demon that would attempt to get on that bus, they ought to say, oh, I'm on the wrong bus. No, you missed that one. You just missed it. You totally missed that. He drives with the transit system. And every demon that would get on Gerald's bus on his shift ought to back off and say, I believe I'm on the wrong bus. The church, listen, the devil, when he attempts to walk in this room, he ought to say, oops, I'm in the wrong church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus. So he said, I fear this. I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant. I know I'm fighting against schedules. I'm fighting against this. But I pray that you would just hold on just another minute. Listen, God's trying to pump life into your veins right now. Nothing more important than the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing the devil want more is to whisper in your ear, don't listen to that old crazy stuff. That ain't no good. He's not telling you the truth. Let God's word be true in every man. Oh, Jesus. He says, I fear that all we have done is waken a sleeping giant and filled him with this, a terrible resolve. Everybody say terrible. We relate terrible as being awful bad, but in the good sense, God's doing something terrible inside you, or he should be doing something terrible. That means awakening, something awakening, something. What are you doing sitting there? Something not of this planet. Something that's not tied to this earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still awake and in this service? If you're sleeping, you need 911. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? A resolve, a terrible resolve. Something, in other words, a firm determination to do something, to decide firmly on a course of action. Firm determination. In these uncommon times, fighting these uncommon enemies that have assigned to attack us, assassins, as Herod assigned his assassins to go after the seed, he heard that there was a king born in Bethlehem, not just any king. He could squash any king, but it wasn't any king, it was the King of Kings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I believe I'll run a lap myself. Tina, the same king that got in that report with you, that got in that test with you, and you came forth with flying colors, is the same king I'm talking about today. Not just any king. So I got to get rid of him. I got to get rid of the seed. Because if it ever gets loose, it's going to be a runaway train. Whoa. 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 God's people need to get on the train. That's a runaway train. The devil can't stop you. The devil can't stop you. He may try. And he may hit you hard. But he can't stop the plan. You see, I know that plan. Those young men sit with me and cried out their heart to me. Listen, and part of that didn't come out, or maybe all of it didn't come out the way that we thought that we would look. But there's one thing for Steve and Pam. You have a powerful resolve should rise up within you. I'm going to carry forth the purpose and vision of God for my family, for my community, and take out the demons that tried to take my family down. Amen. Every drug addict in here that's formerly been on addicted, your resolve should be, I'm determined to take out addiction. Somebody said something started the day we hit that cross up on the hill and made a mission statement. No, that started long before that. Listen, that started long before that. That started before time. God had a purpose, an intention, a plan. And listen, when people started walking in it, the devil got nervous and said, I'll take it out. I'll take it out. I'll take Steve out. I know what gets in Steve and Tammy's head. I'll take them out. I'll take them out. I'll destroy them. I'll take them out. But something will rise up in this man today that says, no matter what, I'm not going down, Jack. Listen, I'm not going down. So Jesus, I know I really didn't even start. I will say this in closing today. One of the most powerful attacks on the church today. See, Herod couldn't take out Jesus. God had another plan. And the devil can't take you out. You're in God's plan. It may seem like you're going down, but no, you're going up. Thank you, Holly. Yes, amen. Thank you. And one of the first way he attacks the church and you as an individual is in the area of your passion. And that's what COVID was designed to do, to zap you of your passion. We're living in a culture today who has defined God as no longer having to assemble and come together. Now, the early church, the ministry was done outside because everything was convened in hidden places. And who knows before Jesus comes back, it may migrate back to that somewhat. I know that everything is not in this building. I know that. Do you not think I know that? I've been accused of getting on people because they don't come to church. Listen, if I wasn't a pastor, that if I told you and reminded you when you miss church that's important to be there, if I wasn't saying that, I wouldn't be worth a hill of beans. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I know this. No, we can't. This is America. You can't. I don't want to make you go to church. If I had to make you be here, your heart wouldn't be here. I want you to be here because you want to be here. I want you to come through that building, skip to the loo, and amen. Praise in Jesus. I enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. I was glad when they said, let's go unto the house of the Lord. That's why Hebrews 10 says, don't fail to assemble yourselves together as the manner of some do, as that day is approaching. What day is he talking about? This day. To the coming of Jesus, it's important that we assemble. Because guess what? This is a big deal, as Mikey said. Church is a big deal. Coming together, you're the church, you're a big deal. But coming together, worshiping and iron sharpening iron and getting the word of God taught and pumped in you. I know you can listen to 900 million preachers all over the world every day. I want to say something. How many of those preachers you listen to will be there in the hospital? How many will be there sitting while you're grieving and going through pain? Come on, come on, come on, help me out. I said, help me out. How many of those will sit down with you and counsel you and talk to you and pour the love of Jesus into you? I'm not saying there's a many pastors that do this all across this country, but I'm saying don't get caught up in the fascination that it's all out there and I don't need all this other stuff. You need what God's doing here. So passion. The enemy comes to steal your tenacity for the things of God. Suddenly, you know, your prayer life stalls out. Your commitment is tested and you just can't seem to push through. You find yourself sometimes just going through the motions. How many people will be here real with me this morning and say, Pastor R, sometimes in the past, maybe even now, that I found myself just going through the motions. You see my hands? I've lived there. I've been there. Listen, I preached going through the motions before a lot of times. Do you hear what I'm saying? Obedience was all right, and that was fine. But it's not that my heart was always passionate about what I was doing. I was just doing it anyway because I knew God wanted me to, whether I felt it or not. Sometimes you've got to do things whether you feel it or not. That's called discipline. That's called discipline. You got to do it anyway. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for these wonderful people. So awakening the sleeping giant, the birth of the greatest generation, it's been said prophetically that I believe this is a generation that will see the coming of the Lord. And this is one of God's greatest generations that will bring in, usher in, the coming of Jesus and his glory and his majesty. The greatest opportunity we have is right now. The greatest work we have to do is right now. Don't let the devil hijack God's plan over your life. Don't let him take captive the purpose of God in your life. Don't let him rock to sleep the plan of God, your faith today. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Turn to somebody and say, wake up. Matthew 24 and 12 said, sin in the last day will be rampant. Sin will be everywhere. It will not be. It will be everywhere. People will not know their left hand from their right hand. People will call evil good and good evil. Do you know that's happening in these last days? People are not discerning because their eyes have been blinded. Matthew 24, 12, sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. Cold, passion gone. But today I feel like I'm in the company of people who God is trying to awaken a resolve in you. If there's ever a time that you need to fight the devil, it ought to be right now. I'll do it tomorrow. No, you can't do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's not yours. Do it today. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We need our passion back. We need our fire for going. We need our fire for purpose. Oh, Jesus, we need this passion today to awaken us, Lord. We need this. A resolve awakened in 1941. Hundreds of thousands of young men in this country left their families' homes to fight to protect what was precious to them. They volunteered. That's right, Heath. Many of those men died in the first encounters of battle. Some of our greatest heroes died in that encounter. Today, God's looking for people who will awaken and stand up and go forward in the battle today. Listen, you're in it to win it. You got a resolve in you. I'm going to fight this enemy. I'm going to fight against complacency and apathy, which is one of the greatest threats to the church today. Wake up! Wake up! You want to be asleep when Jesus comes back? Or you want to be awake? Even if you're physically asleep, you don't want to be spiritually asleep, right? You want to be awake. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Lord Jesus, I've overextended and I wasn't planning on doing this. I promise I wasn't. I wasn't. Lord knows my heart. But today, our hearts ought to be praying right now all over this room. Hearts should be praying all over this room. Sometimes I think I'm too old school for new school. I said sometimes I think that people think I'm too old school for new school. There's nothing wrong with old school if it's in the perimeter of God's word. I am just who I am. I preach and minister just the way I do. I've tried to change who I am throughout the years. That plan has never worked out. And I just want to be who Jesus wants me to be. How many wants to be in this room who Jesus wants you to be? Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord all over this room if you have a mind to. I don't want you to feel like you're being made to. You're not being made to. But if you have a mind and heart to, just lift your hand and say, Lord, awaken my spirit. I want to be a last day warrior. I want to be a last day warrior. I want to be a last day soldier of the cross. I want to carry forth the cross with power and anointing and demonstration. I want to walk into the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy has stolen. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to be nursed to sleep. I don't want to patty cake around in my faith. I want Jesus to be alive in my heart today. Today, today, today. There have been people already rededicate their faith to the Lord here today. But if there's somebody here that's never given your life to Jesus the first time, and today you know that God is speaking to your heart and saying, as he stands at the door and knock, will you open the door and let him in? And would you be willing to come and say, Lord Jesus, I want to give you my heart. I want to make you my Lord and Savior. If that's you in this room, I want you to feel free to come right now.